one thing I want to point out what he said about the cereal, you know, for sure carbs, but the sugar. Sugar, the more and more I read about, sugar is so destructive to our body in general, our minds, but to our energy especially. We think we're getting, you know, I've been many times throughout my life thinking like, well, I'm going to get some sugar to give me that boost. But what happens is you do go up, but then you immediately crash back down or very soon after.
Welcome to The Ziglar Show. I'm your host, Kevin Miller, and I'm here to inspire your true performance. From the framework established by Zig Ziglar, one of the top motivators and personal development leaders our world has ever seen, who believed we could all be more, do more, and have more. How? By improving ourselves, beginning with how we think about ourselves. So today, let's break down some personal development. In this show, I wanted to ask you about your energy. We've heard a lot lately from Abel James, the fat burning man himself, about energy. And I wanted to hear from the audience, real people, what you have found works for you. So I ask on my Facebook page, which anybody can join me and join these weekly discussions at Agent K Miller. I ask, what is something you have done or want to do to help increase your overall energy? Examples are areas such as, but not limited to, nutrition, exercise, sleep, stress, hope, inspiration, and anything else. I had Michelle Prince join me to talk through the comments, and we really hit a wide range of things that folks do to address their energy, to increase their energy. It really expanded my own thinking on the topic as well, and I think it will for you also. So we're just going to get started right after I share some good resources with you.
I'm a foodie, and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico, and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon, really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky, where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family-owned since 1935, and I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste, and right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of seven requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
Hey friends, before we get started today, I just want to thank you for listening to this show. In recent weeks, we've consistently been in the top 30 business podcasts in iTunes globally, all over the world. Player FM has us listed in the top 12 of all self-improvement podcasts. And it's because you keep listening to the show and because you're sharing it with others as well. And I just want to say that I am honored by that, and it inspires me to give you my best, to give you the content that you want and need. Well, here then is Michelle Prince. She and I read through the comments on Facebook again to the question, what is something you have done or want to do to help increase your overall energy? Remember, you can again join these weekly conversations, friend me on Facebook at Agent K Miller. All right, here we go. Okay, this topic of energy, Michelle, I know is a big one for you, and I do want to take it into the aspect of, you know, I mean, you do events, you know, you're book bound by the sea, where people are there and they've got books to write. They've got stories to birth. They've got all this. And when I was doing events, it was the face to face where I realized I'm talking with people. So many of them, you know, they'd have a great idea. They knew how to walk it out. We figured out a good place in the marketplace for it. And yet the thing that often came back was, I just struggled to do it, to put time into it, to do it after work, before work, to do it during lunch, to do it on the weekends. I'm just, I need more energy, which is why I brought into my events health and wellness focus. And so, you know, again, I'm going to put that to you. I'm sure that's something that you run up against. People just, where do they get the margin? And I'm going to say energy to do this great work.
Oh my goodness. It's such an energy is pretty much everything, right? No matter what we want to do, whether it be business goals or exercise goals. I mean, if you don't have the energy, you're kind of stuck. So I love this topic because our health and our wellness is literally, if we don't have our health, what do we have? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's so many different ways to get your energy up. And I think that everybody might, you know, people are different, and some people might get their energy through, you know, more mindset type of things, whereas other people, it has to be more physical. And so I love that we pose this question, because so many people have a different opinion of what works for them.
Yeah. And there, thank you for saying that, because the point of this is you're going to hear a lot of different things, folks. And we're not going to end this saying, so here's your recipe for more energy. It's going to be your own secret sauce. Find out what does it for you, where you need it. You're going to have voids where other people don't. You're going to have inspirations where other people don't. And, you know, I will say one thing. It's like my business partner, the doc, says in regards to exercise as one example. He says, what's the best one? And the answer is whichever one you'll do every day. So I would say with a lot of these things, you know, think of that. Think what fits you. Well, let's just jump in. I mean, Gregory here just briefly says improve his nutrition intake, fuel for the journey, and average 1 hour more sleep per night. And you're going to hear some common things. Yeah, Nate Wilson, he just says sleep. Out of all those things, just sleep. So let's hit on that one real quick. I mean, that is one that we're seeing more content about these days than ever, because I think, well, let's just focus on the business world. How long, Michelle, are you aware of, it seems like most of my life in business, you heard about the hard charging business person achieving so much and, you know, sleeping on 4 hours of sleep per night. I'm hearing the exact opposite these days. How about you?
100%. In fact, my husband's in the sleep business.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So I know quite a bit about this and the importance of it, because we neglect, or we think that our body just has this endless energy, but it can't. It has to recharge every night. The more sleep you get, the more your body is healing, the more your body is, processing. Even goes down to, I won't get into all the details, but even, you know, people that are gaining weight, chances are good it could be related to their lack of sleep. Yeah. So sleep is huge. And it's just something that we need to prioritize just the same way you would prioritize working out.
Absolutely. And I've really gotten my own perspective around the concept of everything I do during the day is output. The only way I can renew myself to have equal or greater output the next day is sleep. It's rest. Mm-hmm. And man, I'll say that my wife loves to sleep. I would rather take a pill and not sleep. It's not something I enjoy doing or want to, but because my day rests on it. I'm generally a 7 to 8 hour guy myself.
You know, I certainly never get it, but my body has always required more sleep. I mean, if I could sleep 10 hours, I'd do it, but you know, that's not realistic. But because I know that if I get less than 8 hours, I'm a mess.
Yeah.
So I've learned that. Now, that took years and years and years, because definitely when I was younger, I abused that completely, and I paid for it. But
well, and that's, I think that's the case. And one of my best friends for life, he was in the military, and you know, they went for months, if not years, on, you know, 5 hours of sleep. My business partner's a doc, and you know, going through med school. I mean, your body can do amazing things. It's amazing at survival, but it will catch up with you. I was just at a hotel and I was reading through Fast Company magazine, and they have this consistent thing that they do now where they take these high performers, high achievers, and they'll just, I think they do it in every issue now. They'll go through and kind of hit 5 points, you know, what time do you get up in the morning? What time do you go to bed? What's one of your habits? Blah, blah, blah. And looking at that. And again, it was across the board where sleep was the goal that people were, at least were going for, is generally 7 to 8, which again, I feel like even a decade ago, definitely 20 years ago, I remember that was the frequent thing, is I've got myself, you know, 4 hours of sleep, or, you know, 2 hours here and 2 hours there. And I'm sure those people aged rapidly.
Exactly.
All right. Joe Pellerito. He says, one, after having irregular heartbeats and feeling tired at age 40, I knew I had to make changes. First step, I stopped eating cereal. I never realized how much that alone added to my carb intake. I used to eat it morning and night. After seeing quick results, I cut down my bread and sugar intake. I have a big sweet tooth. I allow myself the occasional treat on Tuesday. But after months, my weight dropped 35 pounds from 213 to 178 It has been almost 2 years, and I've maintained my new normal. I love that, new normal. With more energy and less weight, I have had less injuries. Leading to, number two for him, is running. My theme is complete, don't compete. My original goal in 2018 was to run a marathon's worth of 5Ks. This evolved to a few 5Ks. My first 10K was in April, my first 25K in May, and first marathon in October. This has shown me the power of lifestyle changes and how it snowballs to impact all areas, physical, emotional, and mental.
Wow.
New norm. Yes. Yeah. My favorite right there is new normal. Is new normal.
And I love what he said, complete, don't compete.
Yeah.
You know, how many times do we think, well, I need to start running, but I can't run a marathon. Well, you don't have to run a marathon. Around the block is just as good too.
Absolutely. And that's this new normal. It reminds me of a book. I wasn't quick enough to type it in, but it was, gosh, a good 20 years ago, if not 25, called Diet for Life. And that was the point, is you don't need a diet for a certain amount of time to achieve a goal. You need to adapt a diet for your life. So going back to his new normal, again, my business partner, Randy, one of a perspective is that we have all accepted a normal in our culture that shouldn't be normal. Headaches are not normal. Migraines are not, normal. Heartburn is not normal. It shouldn't be. It has become, but we can all, like this on Joe's, develop a new normal. But gosh, Joe, just thank you and congratulations. That is gigantic.
It is huge. And one thing I want to point out, what he said about the cereal, for sure carbs, but the sugar, sugar, the more and more I read about, sugar is so destructive to our body in general, our minds, but to our energy, especially. We think we're getting, I've been many times throughout my life thinking like, well, I'm going to get some sugar to give me that boost. But what happens is you do go up, but then you immediately crash back down or very soon after. So long-term sustained energy, watching that sugar intake is super, super important.
Hey, that's my new norm. He talks about having a sweet tooth. The joke in my family was that daddy doesn't have a sweet tooth. He has a sweet belly. that was it. And today, I have two outlets for sugar at all. It's dark chocolate and pretty dark so that it's only, 5 grams of sugar in a serving, and wine. I mean, granted, it's not quite apples to apples as far as sugar, but it is still a form of sugar and kind of fulfills that sweet. That's pretty much it. And once in a blue moon, I'll imbibe, but yeah, I value my physical state too much. My emotional state, goodness. Like Joe said, physical, emotional, mental, and they all work in conjunction. I got to point out that a guy, Kevin Miles, responded to Joe. He said, good stuff, Joe. He said, Kevin, I can totally vouch for all Joe talks about here. He is a total inspiration. And I do appreciate that, because when we make a life change for the better and do something that inspires us, it by proxy will inspire those around us. Generally, once in a while, it will threaten those around us as well. So if you've experienced that, it's just par for the course, but generally it will, over time, it will give other people permission to make a positive progress in their own lives.
For sure. If he could do it, we can do it. That's kind of...
Yes. Ooh. After they might get fast, you did it. Now I'm irritated because now it points out what I'm not doing, but they'll generally come around, or you just need to remove yourself from those people. How about Charlotte Tamayo here? She says, I use energy medicine to help relieve stress. I learned a practice referred to as the emotional freedom technique through a radio show about 7 years ago when going through some very difficult life changes. I was pulling into my driveway, was able to follow along with the tapping process. I never caught the name of the interviewee, but it led me to seek out experts like Nick Ortner and his sister Jessica Ortner of the Tapping Solution. Since then, I find it useful to overcome mental blocks that hold me back from moving through many challenges. It's an incredible technique for getting around the response of PTS. I recommend it as a non-chemical solution that yields great results. I didn't follow up on that. Some of you guys will know what that is, some won't, but I just included it here to go to what we started with, Michelle. We're looking for your secret sauce, whatever. And if it's a tapping process like she talks about, awesome. That is to each his own. And if you find something that does it, beauty.
Absolutely. And I don't know a whole lot about that. I have heard of it, but it may just go in line too with, you know, breathing techniques and meditation and all of that. In fact, when I was thinking of my own answers, you know, what gives me energy and breathing, as crazy as that sounds, we all breathe, but you know, when you do those very intentional deep breathing, you know, it just gives me energy. And whenever I'm feeling kind of that sluggish mid-afternoon slump, mm-hmm. I'll just do, you know, 5 or 6 to 10 big, deep breaths like you're in yoga. And it just gives me some energy. So maybe that's along those same lines of what she's talking about.
Probably so. And I mean, it sounds meditative in essence as well, mm-hmm. which is a big deal. Well, Alan Lovelace here, he says the reduction of sugar as I age, it has such a negative impact on my mood and energy. I'm going to take that just again to hit on sugar and working in the health and wellness arena where people are come paying us a lot of money to take them from point A to point wherever they want to get to. Sugar is, I treat it honestly these days, and this is going to sound harsh, but as far as what we see it do to people and what we're seeing it do to our culture, the increase in sugar, it's like smoking. It's mm-hmm. the tobacco of our time, and it is in everything. And I'm going to keep talking about my business partner, the doc. He says, you know, it used to be back there that once a month, maybe once a quarter, there'd be a birthday party and you would have cake and ice cream. And that mm-hmm. was awesome. He says, now we have cake and ice cream for every single meal. And we call it sugar. We call it McDonald's. We call mm-hmm. it, you know, a TV dinner or whatever. And the sugar and salt has increased to such a big level where, again, my own diet, my family of, however many ever show at home at these days, I think there's 8 we've got full time at home right now. And we don't do any processed food at all. We don't do sugar. If the kids have cereal, it's this puffed rice stuff that has zero sugar in it and almond milk that has a gram or something like that. And that's what they've gotten used to. They would, you know, would they like the taste of Lucky Charms or something? Sure. But it's just not something that we include in our diet. And it is, I think, one of the biggest banes of our health in today's culture.
Well, and to your point about your kids, I think once you get it out of your system and you're not used to having that much sugar all the time, mm-hmm. I think, at least for me, when I drink like a Coke or something like that, I'm just, it's too much sugar. I can't handle it because I haven't had that much in so long.
Yeah. I've got my youngest boy is, he's 8 now, and he just past couple weeks it was like a birthday or something, and there was some treat, I don't know, and he ate about half his bowl. He said, "Daddy, it's just too sweet. I can't do it." Mm. I said, "God bless you, son."
I know.
Don't
you love that?
I do. Here, Donna Johnson, she says, for her, it was beginning the habits outlined in Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod. You know, that's one that I am well aware of, Michelle. I've never ingrained myself in or gotten the book. I've heard of it. I need to. You looks like you know.
Yes, it's okay. Such a great book.
I don't know why. It's one I missed.
There are so many things that I implemented and you know, even tell people to do. And it does. It really, really... It's just small little changes can make huge results. And so a couple of things that come to mind that he tells you to do is drinking lemon water, right? As soon mm-hmm. as you get out of bed, putting your alarm clock across the room. So you're not, you know, you're more likely to get out of bed and all that. Brush your teeth first thing in the morning, yeah. All these types of things.
Yeah. Well, so folks, check that out. It sounds like one I need to not only get, but maybe I should see if Hal would be a good interviewee for the show here.
Absolutely.
There are, you know, again, going back to our guests on the show and when we do the habits show with them going through the 7 spokes of the Ziglar Wheel of Life, I can't remember that there's been anyone who does not have an intentional morning routine. This is what I do every single morning and it's my, you know, secret sauce. And when I miss it, they'll often say things are just not right. And I'm the same way, though I will admit it's really only been about the past 2 years, Michelle, that I have been consistent. Yeah. Always having kids, always, you know, and doing school and whatnot. I would sleep as long as I could, get up, and then just dive into that. And I was highly motivated by, again, my business partner and him talking about his morning devotion time and how rich it was. Mm-hmm. I finally committed, and now I'm Zig. It's the opportunity clock that goes off in the morning. I have the opportunity to get up and renew my mind. But it wasn't that way right off the bat. And again, I'm 48 and it's been about 2 years. I was a late bloomer.
And everybody, I always look at things in seasons. You know, there's a season when you're so busy with kids that you can't even think about getting 15 minutes earlier. And then there becomes a season where you prioritize more. So I'm the same way. I have times when I'm really, really, really good at it and other times where things slide by. But I do notice that the mornings that I get up, I read my Bible, I plan my day, do something to kind of, you know, build my mind. Those are my most productive, but my happiest days.
Yes.
Just keep things in perspective all day.
And thanks to these sponsors for bringing us today's show.
Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top-tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin.
I live high up in the Rocky Mountains where the air is clean and fresh as possible, but then I step indoors and I'm breathing in untold amounts of toxins and allergens from paint and carpet and cleaning chemicals and pets and furniture and appliances and mold and so on. Studies show the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air anywhere you are, and in some places it's 100 times worse than that. Well, the solution is to get an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best out there. It filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen and pet dander and dust mites and mold and even bacteria and viruses, so your lungs don't have to try to do that. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com. You can use the promo code Kevin, and depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get the special deal, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin.
Jessica Moyer here. She says, for her, prioritizing. I have so many sticks in the fire. I need to figure out which ones are the most important and will lead to significant growth. I'm pulled in too many directions and have to tone it down. Then I will have more energy for what needs the most attention. And what spoke to me on that, I know for a lot of people, just being prioritizing and slash, I'll add into that, just being organized, having some semblance of organization. Man, that is one that does help me. I am not that prone to doing it well. It's not the first thought in my mind. And yet, yeah, organizing and prioritizing is so powerful. I'll just say, yeah, that's one that's difficult for me.
And you're not alone. Okay. It is for me as well. I teach a lot about prioritizing and procrastination when I speak for companies, you know, on time management. But really, it just boils down to is figuring out, you know, what are the most important things in your life, things that, you know, related to family and career and your health and all the spokes of the wheel. And then, you know, prioritizing just means putting them in the schedule long before you put in checking email and everything else.
So we need to prioritize prioritizing.
Yes, sound right? We do.
Okay, perfect. We got that one down. Avi Friedman says, I started eating every 2 to 3 hours, a low glycemic meal. I stopped eating at night and I started meditating at times and I try to walk daily. That's a great example of, so what's doing it for her? Eating every 2 to 3 hours, a low glycemic meal. And I'm on the side where I've adopted an intermittent fasting diet. That's my daily diet. I don't eat until lunch. Today I didn't eat till I had some nuts about 30 minutes ago. That's all I've had so far. I'll have a good meal. But again, with it, there you go. Find out what does it. I would encourage everybody to take something, do it for a week, do it for 2 weeks and see what fits you. You know, even on the intermittent fasting, now she does say she stopped eating at nights. I don't know if that she means snacking there, but from an intermittent fasting standpoint, it's really, research shows it's more beneficial to eat breakfast, then lunch and skip dinner. It makes sense. I would agree with that. It doesn't fit my lifestyle. I have a big family and at night I cook for them and that's when we come together. And so I don't do that. So again, we're looking at what fits you, you know, physically, emotionally, but also just circumstantially, but figure out what does it for you. And so if Avi likes the 2 to 3 hours, eating a meal, it works for her, great. Great. Jim Smith here says nutrition, supplements, and exercise. Tony Cooper says resting when needed and saying no to things that will add a ton of stress to my life. Michelle, I know you well enough to know your calendar stays full, your opportunities stay full, and I bet you have a big priority or a need to say no to a lot.
I do. We all do. This is something that I had to learn the hard way because I spent most of my life being a people pleaser. You and I talked about this
we're
before.
In that club.
Yeah. And what does that mean? People pleasing means you just say yes, yes, yes to everything. But what happens is you jeopardize your time, your energy, and the things that matter most to you. So I had to learn to say no by setting boundaries. And it's so not easy to do, but it is life-saving when you say, no, I have another commitment at that time, or I'm not able to, I would love to, but thank you. But no, I'm not able to commit at this time. Mm-hmm. It's so freeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's we talk about boundaries. It is difficult. I feel like a baby and trying to walk that out. Mine generally end up around social engagements. My wife is the socialite. I am not. And it feels bad to put boundaries around. And sometimes it is bad. It doesn't thrill her that I don't want to do X, Y, Z. And so we just have to grapple with that. And I don't want to grapple. I'm a people pleaser, just like you said. Dan here says, when I was purposely getting at regularly 7 hours of sleep each night, starting my days with consistent meditation, prayer, and reading. When I did that, I had great reserves of energy and productivity each day. I love the term of reserves. I mean, we do have that, I think, especially, I would say parents, and I think even more moms who just get that feeling of it, pour out, and not thinking about, I have to refill myself. Because if you don't have those reserves, you can still function, but you're at half mast. And that's, it's the value of giving those reserves to yourself, that's your responsibility as well. And that's not the altruistic perspective that we generally have.
No, not always easy, but very important.
Yes. Greg here says, everything you've listed is great, but with the addition of yoga, well, he says, which is exercise, I guess. But yeah, I do think yoga comes into that meditative standpoint, which, you know, meditation, I feel like that was, kind of that hoodoo guru, new agey stuff is where I had it in 5 years ago, maybe even less. And now again, it is so consistent across the board. It's kind of been brought out of that spiritual realm of just, you know, it's just a It's a brain training. That's what we really hit on with Dan Harris. He's the, I think it's ABC news anchor that we interviewed. His book is 10% Happier. And it was about yoga. And he said, that's what he wanted to do is debunk that. I think he even used that word, hoodoo guru or spiritual aspect of it. And we came down to, it's just brain training. We're seeing so much on that. Again, Michelle, man, that's one, that's one of the hardest for me.
Well, you know, this is something that years ago, I didn't know much about yoga, but over, I have tried yoga quite a bit over the last several years. And it is beyond the spiritual, because what it really is it's stretching your muscles. It's giving you that extra breath, you know, breathing and getting more oxygen in your body and what that does for you. And I'm telling you, it's just the most relaxing, but you're working really hard. Like your muscles are still working. But I feel so much more energy after doing a yoga class than most exercises for me personally, for me, but, you know, and then you can add your own spiritual element to it. You know, when you're in that quiet time, you know, depending on what that means to you, you know, it could be your prayer time. It could just be your, you know, breathing time, but there's just something to be said for breathing and stretching and keeping your mind in one place.
Okay. I hear you. That's one. Yeah. I have not tried that one that much at all. Jennifer Meisel here. At first I read this and I thought, okay, here's our comic relief. But then I thought about it a little bit and I can relate a little bit. She says espresso Red Bull shots rimmed with sugar while listening to Flight of the Bumblebee after robbing a bank. Okay. I do expect that that's a little comedy, but I mean, there are the times, Michelle, when I'll get I'm a decaf coffee guy these days, but once in a while where I will do a nice extra shot espresso from Starbucks and come back, put the right kind of music on and plow through some stuff, be really productive, even if it means I crash a little bit. I do that occasionally, not a lot, because I hope that my reserves are there to where I don't need something like that. But at the appropriate time, man, I'll subsidize a little bit.
And there are specific times that you just have to. That made me think about, you know, when I do my live events, when you do 3 full days on your feet teaching the whole time, I mean, that takes a ton of goodness, energy.
Yeah.
So it is hard sometimes to just keep plowing through. And, you know, so for me, it definitely is coffee. A friend of mine, Howard Partridge, actually, he does, because he does events as well, he does these coffee bars. So instead of drinking the coffee, there are these little bars that have this caffeine in it, or this, you know, that gives you that bulk of energy. And I will say, it's not something I don't think you can consistently do all the time.
Yeah.
But when you do have to stay up and on, then, you know, sometimes we do need to do those little coffee breaks.
Yes, I agree. I've been a lifetime coffee guy, and I was the person who said, decaf isn't real coffee. You got to have caffeine. And then finally I was through my doc and nutritionist and all that. They said, Kevin, for you, who you are, you don't need coffee. You're amped enough. You're running too high, and that was causing its own problems as well. You need to back off. So I have done that. Again, we're back to your own secret sauce. Joshua Ong, he says, developing clarity and focus on what I really want in life. In this digital era, there is so much distraction. It's very easy to lose track on what's really important. Beautiful. You know, again, we're talking about your goals, figuring out what is priority and getting rid of stuff. That is a big one for me. Very difficult. Again, I like to just come in and play air traffic controller and I get a lot done and I'm busy, but was I really efficient and did I really get the right work done? And that is difficult for me. We're seeing a lot of folks, talk about that. They come, you know, these high performers and high achievers, people that we interview, that they don't get on their electronics, don't check their email, don't look at text, whatever, until, you know, 10 o'clock or until they've done, XYZ. I'm working on that some. Now, granted, I got a lot of kids and I'm usually just checking, make sure everybody's okay. And I'll look at a couple things. And for me, I kind of want to see if there's any big urgent thing just to get it off of my anxiety list that I probably shouldn't have, but just to make sure. And when I take care of those urgent things, do a quick run through, then I can dig in. So again, to each his own. I don't know how you deal with that.
Well, I love that he brought up the priorities again, because I think there's something to this, because, you know, the priorities, like you say, help us stay focused on our goals. But I think when we accomplish our goals, it does more than just getting things done. It actually builds confidence. You know, we feel better about ourselves once we've accomplished something. So I think that confidence is actually a big energy booster. When you know you've done something well, you feel good about yourself, you tend to have a little bit more energy. And the opposite is true. When you're not feeling really good about yourself, maybe a little depressed, that's when you want to, you know, you have no energy to get off the couch.
Yeah, totally. I should have included this one with it. Karen Putz right after, she says, narrowing my focus and being intentional with my time is what gives her most energy. Chris McNall, he says, so many things, but health, sleep, stress, work, exercise, they're all interrelated. Better sleep helps me be better at work, which in turn helps with stress and so on. You know, that one, when we look at all those things, I mean, that is, you know, I work a lot in the arena of functional medicine, and the focus there is we need a comprehensive plan. And we so often see people doing so many things well, and that they're frustrated though, because they're not getting the results. And we often find it's because there's a flat spot. Again, go back to Zig's, you know, wheel of life there. And if you've got, you're doing great here, great here, great here, and you got a flat spot, it's a bump, and that's difficult. I would rather really just excel, you know, kind of like when we talk about strengths and weaknesses, I would rather know my strengths and just rock those and, you know, delegate the rest. Granted, and in business that works well. In our personal life, I can't delegate any of those spokes, and it's frustrating that I do need balance. Otherwise, the flat spot is eroding all the other areas of my life. So finding that daily balance of all those things, I think being aware of where our weak spots are is great.
Definitely. That's the biggest. Knowing is half the battle.
It is. It is. We'll hear one more. Ben Kaiser, I think. He says, eliminating as much negativity as possible helps with boosting my energy. I even try to refrain from watching the news due to the abundance of negativity. If something is of utmost importance, people will inform me. I've also found starting my day with a healthy breakfast helps boost my energy levels tremendously. It's vital that my mornings are productive, as I seem to become less productive later on in the day. I highly recommend that anyone wanting to change his or her diet should first perform a healthy detox of the body. Exercising at least 3 times a week also has made a huge difference in providing energy. One improvement that I hope to achieve in the near future is wake up earlier in the morning. My target goal is to consistently wake up around 4:50 a.m. so that I can take advantage of my mornings. That's right up Zig's alley of negativity right there.
For sure. I mean, negative people, negative input, TV, all that. That just kind of reminded me, you know, I'm one of those people that I love live events, absolutely love them. And I think it's because I get energy from other people. It goes back to introvert or extrovert, right? Uh-huh. Extroverts get energy by being with people. Introverts get energy by being alone. But for me, it's those positive people. I leave events where I'm with positive, motivated people. I am on fire with energy.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, if I'm sitting in a room with somebody and all they're doing is, you know, complaining, it's like, it just drags the life out of me.
Yeah.
Yes. And all of us, I'm sure.
Oh, totally. And you know, it's interesting. It is interesting. You and I have so many similarities. I feel like we're twins in a lot of ways. And yet the events, while they inspire me, they drain me. So I have to go take that time alone to get recharged, which again, brings us to figuring out what works for everybody. But I would just really encourage everybody having that comprehensive plan. What is your diet in each of these areas so that you have a well-balanced plan for your energy? Because it's huge. Like you started the show with, Michelle, if we don't have our health, what do we have? And I think it's a pithy thing to say, but my gosh, it is so true. And now as I see people who are older, and they're being taken out, and there's things they still want to do. There's people they still want to serve and love, and they can't. And it is so demoralizing for them. And I think for everybody around them. So this is, again, that's why we're doing it. It's of utmost importance.
That's right. And like you said, too, it's figuring out what works for you. Mm-hmm. Just because it works for you doesn't mean it's going to work for me. I'll say what my sixth grade history teacher used to always say, different strokes for different folks. And, yes. You know, what is your stroke? What is it that's going to help you to be more successful in all those spokes of the wheel? And, you know, do what, who was it that said, complete, don't compete?
Yes.
Well, that goes for beyond running, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Michelle, thanks. I'm inspired. I think yoga is next on my list.
Awesome.
All right. Well, friends, I mainly hope from this show that you've elevated the importance of tending to your energy, doing specific things proactively, intentionally to increase your energy. It's just vitally important for everything that we want in our lives. And thanks to all who submitted responses. I'll fill you in on our next show after I share some good resources with you. Coming up in show 639, we talk about your crucible. Now, the definition of a crucible is this: a situation of severe trial or in which different elements interact, leading to the creation of something new. And that new thing is, of course, either good or bad. That's the point that we talk about today. So Dr. James Kelly is my guest. He's the author of a book called The Crucible's Gift. And it's ultimately talking about people who rose from adversity. But it's a big topic, folks. So many of the big movies today focus on people with superpowers, right? Either they're alien or they're regular people who had a mishap that gave them a superpower. They were, you know, bitten by a spider or electrocuted or fell in a vat of chemicals or something. In the movies, they get some cool superpower. In real life, I think when stuff like that happens, we just die or expect to, or we're critically handicapped. But this concept is so very real. Tragedy, or at least hardship and disappointment, is going to happen to everyone from childhood on. And how you deal with it is everything. So will the crucible in your life make or break you? Help or handicap you? Will it overcome you, or will you overcome it? And you may need to look into your past and consider what crucibles in your past, what have they done to you? How did you perceive them? What's the story you tell about it? Were you equipped and empowered, or just hurt? We also get into the crippling effect of blame, that topic, with, again, Dr. James Kelly. It gets to the root, when we talk of blame, of are very real handicaps and strengths as well. And it may not be black and white. These aren't, as you know, from listening to these shows, it's not always a black and white answer, but we just discuss the different aspects of it and how we can all engage and benefit. All right, so we're going to flesh that out with Dr. Kelly in the next show. Till then, folks, thank you, as always, for letting me walk with you as we inspire our true performance together. We have a lot of entrepreneurs in the What Drives You audience, so I've got a podcast for you, The Side Hustle Show with host Nick Loper. Nick showcases how you can make extra money through stories and ideas of regular people who made it happen, and that's what I appreciate about the show. We so often hear about the unicorn ideas, and we don't hear the regular stories of regular people doing fairly regular things, like Shelly, who started a travel blog in 2020 and now brings in $50,000 a month, or Lenny, who started renting out mobility scooters, makes $3,000 a month. You'll hear stories of people reviewing Amazon products, washing windows, and you'll find inspiration from something that can work for you while you keep your day job. Check out The Side Hustle Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app, or at sidehustlenation.com. You can actually answer a few short multiple choice questions at hustle.show and get a personalized playlist of the episodes that'll be most relevant to you. The Side Hustle Show.